washed in. The sea splashed against the docks, and the hull of a large vessel with the name S.S. Anne painted in large letters on the side. The ship rocked a little with the water, and the ramp from the boat to the docks bounced up and down a bit, making those traveling upon it a little unsteady. A man was giving direction to a few Machamp that were carrying stacks of boxes onto the S.S. Anne. More water splashed against the side, and the gray sky rumbled. The first drop of rain splattered against a Machamp's forehead and slid down his face, weaving a trail between his eyes and around his mouth before dripping from his chin. The man called out to his Machamp to pick up the pace as the storm prepared to break. Another wave broke against the boat, and that time there was an added thud as something hard carried in the water also hit. But it went mostly unnoticed as a crash of thunder coincided with the event, which startled one of the Machamp and caused it to slip and fall backward into another, sending their boxes crashing onto the docks and scattering their contents. The man berated them for their clumsiness and ordered them to start cleaning up the mess of pokeballs, decorations, and a few awards. So his failure to notice something coming up out of the water onto the docks and slip away was understandable. But someone did see, for he had heard the thud against the boat while he was watching the sea and clouds grow increasingly menacing. And the sound had made him curious, so he ran around the ship looking down into the water for what it was the sea had carried over. His heart pounded when he saw the figure emerge from the depths. There was a flash that could have been lightning, and then the figure lumbered off into Vermilion City. People stared at the shambling figure as it made its way through the streets, dripping a trail of water wherever it went. Nobody seemed to notice the boy following at a distance, his curiosity driving him to push his fear aside. The figure stopped in front of a building, and the doors slid open, permitting access to the interior. The boy was so focused on watching the mystery that he didn't even see what the building was, nor did he see the mailman on a bike coming right at him. The mailman swerved just in time, narrowly avoiding a collision with the kid, but not avoiding a collision with the garbage can that sent him flying from his bike and onto the pavement. Completely oblivious to it all, the boy finished crossing the street and entered the building he had seen the figure disappear into. The boy's eyes darted around rapidly, searching for the figure. It didn't take long since the wet mass was standing in front of a counter and placed a Pokeball down for the nurse to collect. That's when the kid realized he had walked into a Pokemon Center. He stood completely still for a moment, not sure what to do, and curious what would happen next. But then the mass started to turn, and the boy panicked. He started to the left, and then the right, and then, ultimately, went left and sat down onto one of the benches in the lobby. As soon as he landed, he looked up at the ceiling as if it was something magnificent to study. Then the boy heard the approach of heavy boots clunking along the hard floor and making a squelching sort of noise as water squeezed out of them. They came very close to the boy, who was too afraid to even chance a glance lest he give himself away. Then the bench jerked as something dropped onto it hard, and the boy felt little flecks of water splatter against his hand. He could feel the wet creature looming beside him, and suddenly the boy felt an urgent need to use the restroom. He squirmed as he tightened his legs together, absolutely sure that if he tried to leave, the mass would descend upon him like a muck and consume him.
"Young man, if you need, there's a restroom just over there."
The boy looked up and saw that an elderly woman with a kind smile was looking down at him. Her smile faltered slightly as her eyes drifted over toward the mass beside the boy for just a second.
Thank you."
His own eyes glanced over at the creature beside him, but all he caught a glimpse of was a soggy sleeve. Then he jumped up and rushed to the restroom, feeling that he might be safe to do so with the woman standing there. If anything, if the mass moved, it would likely take her before it could get to him. The boy felt a little guilt over that particular thought. Making quick work of his time in the restroom, the boy left without washing his hands, fearing he would lose the soggy monster. Sure enough, all that was left where it had been was a very wet seat. The boy rushed back into the lobby and toward the door, hoping to find which way it went. Unfortunately for him, the floor was a little wet, and the boy's feet were suddenly in the air, and then he was sliding across the ground on his back. That drew the attention of everyone inside, some barely giving a glance before returning to whatever they were doing, while others were amused or concerned.
"Here's your Pokemon, sir. Take good care of it."
The boy lifted his chin so he could see over toward the counter where he had just heard the woman behind it speak. It was all upside down to him from this view, but there was no mistaking the soaking figure that was now stepping closer to where the boy lay. The man placed the single Pokeball on his belt as his feet squished closer. The boots came to a stop near the boy's head, and for the first time the boy saw the monster's face. It showed so little life that it was almost as if the man was wearing some sort of mask, or he was made of stone. His eyes were a dull green, and they looked strangely lost. Not nearly the menacing red glow the boy had expected, and his eyebrows made him look sort of sad. "All right." The voice was a bit gruff, and it took a moment for the boy to realize he had been asked a question. The kid tried to give a nod, but it probably looked odd with his mouth hanging open on his head that was tilted so far back it was almost upside down. The towering figure nodded once. "Be careful." And then the man's boots thudded and squished as they carried him out the door. Waiting until he heard the door shut, the boy quickly returned to his feet to continue his pursuit. He was going to need to be a lot more careful now that the monster had noticed him. Outside, it didn't take him long to find the soggy man, and soon enough, it became obvious where he was going. The Pokemon Gym. The boy peered through a window and wondered if the man entering knew what kind of Pokemon they used in that gym, because being soaked while walking into Lieutenant Surge's electric gym seemed like a dangerous idea. The boy watched as the man marched up to the barrier that blocked access to the gym leader. He just stood there, quite still, staring through it. From the boy's angle, he couldn't see through the barrier and could only assume Lieutenant Surge was inside. Then a guy with long hair, beat-up jeans, and a vest walked over to where the soggy man stood. He held something charged with electricity, and the boy worried for a moment he was just going to zap the soaked man. But he didn't. Instead, he tried to get the man's attention, and was getting increasingly frustrated. He tossed out a Pokeball, and out emerged a Voltorb. Soggy Man backed up quickly and tossed his own Pokeball into the fray. But the boy couldn't see what Pokemon emerged from that one. Soggy Man was in the way. Getting frustrated, the boy left the window and decided to just enter the gym himself. As soon as he did, he was being bothered by some guy. "Yo, champion, wait, are you even old enough to be a trainer?"
"No, I'm just trying to..."
"Look, you shouldn't be in here if you aren't registered yet. Why don't you head on out now, huh?" The boy tried to ignore the man and get a look at Soggy Man's battle. But it was too late. Whatever Pokemon he had already returned, and the long-haired trainer had been defeated.
"Lieutenant," Soggy Man said, "let's battle."
Surge walked over to the barrier, separating him and Soggy Man, and shrugged.
"You need to get in here first. My trainers might offer you some clues if you can beat them."
"I'm here to earn my Thunder Badge."
"As I said, you need to..."
Soggy Man pulled something small, and whatever it was shocked the electric gym leader.
"You already have one? But you just said..."
"Battle me."
The guy at the entrance started to push the boy back since he wasn't listening. He caught a glimpse of what the man held up, and, if he wasn't mistaken, it was a Thunder Badge. So why did he need another one? Despite Surge's surprise, he didn't take the barrier down. Instead, he nodded at his other two trainers, and they both started to come after Soggy Man from behind.
"Hey, mister! Watch out!"
And then the boy was thrown out of the gym.
Part 21. Refreshed. Violet stretched out her arms as far as they could go, keeping her eyes shut to block out the sunlight a little longer. Finally, she pulled herself up and started getting ready for the day. When she pulled on her coat, her fingers lingered on the shiny new boulder badge pinned there, and she thought back to yesterday's battle. The item told her that she had what it took to be a trainer. She smiled, and then, grabbing the rest of her gear, she left the room and headed to the lobby of the Pokemon Center. At the counter, she passed over her claim ticket, and someone headed into the back to acquire her rested and restored Pokemon.
While she waited, there was a familiar ding from the front door opening as someone either entered or left. A tray of 4 Pokeballs were brought out and placed in front of Violet. There they were, the 4 Pokemon she was currently traveling with. V, Lucky, Katana, her Spearow, and of course, Mizu. But, with the exception of Spur, she had not caught any of those Pokemon. She had grown up with V, but it belonged to her father, and Lucky, the Zubat, was her father's as well after meeting in Mount Moon. And her horsey, Mizu, was the one she chose out of her options back at the Cerulean City Gym. Of course, she had caught one other, but thanks to some girl with pink hair, a Bellsprout, and a couple of Pokemon she had never seen before, that Clefairy she caught was lost, along with her father. That is why the badge was so important, because that proved that she could train and battle with Pokemon. Sure, she had beaten a couple other kids, but that was nothing against a gym leader. However, that was just the beginning. There were still 7 badges to go to earn a right to face against the greatest Pokemon trainers in Kanto, the Elite 4. Which meant she needed to get going, especially if she wanted to catch up to the girl with the pink hair who had managed to beat her to the Boulder badge. After securing her Pokemon, Violet started for the door. Wait, is that? It is! What a small world. How are you, Violet? Hearing her name, Violet looked around and then found the man who had helped her deal with a pushy salesman at the last Pokemon Center.
Oh, hi. I'm good.
You don't sound sure.
Sorry, I was just surprised.
Of course. Have you faced the gym yet? Oh, well, of course you have. The badge is right there on your jacket. Violet looked at the jacket as if to check if it was still there. But it was more for something to do, as she didn't know what to say. Way to go. You're really on your way now. Blushing a little, Violet nodded.
Yeah, I guess I am.
So which gym is next on your path? Going back through Mount Moon to Cerulean? Or is it the Viridian gym? Violet hadn't actually thought about it. She had determined to get going to the next badge, but, well, which one? Was she ready to take on Misty back home? Unlike Brock's Pokemon, Violet didn't have any Pokemon that were particularly good matchups against Misty.
I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet.
The man smiled. Sure, that makes sense. You want to be strategic about it, of course. Plan your moves carefully. You're a smart girl. Of course, that wasn't at all what she had thought, but she appreciated the compliment and wasn't about to correct the man. You want a little bit of advice?
Sure.
Well, I've heard talk that there are some Pikachu to the south in Viridian Forest. If you manage to find one of those, it could help against Misty. Nodding, Violet liked the idea of having an electric Pokemon to help her win. But that meant backtracking, and it would take longer, and that was even if she was lucky enough to find one. On the other hand, it was on the way to the Viridian City Gym, so she could try and find a Pikachu on the way there. The problem was she didn't know much about that gym. It didn't seem many did, and what she had read and heard was that, being so close to the path to Victory Road, it was the toughest gym.
A Pikachu would be handy, but I think I might just make my way back through Mount Moon and see what I catch on the way.
The man shrugged and offered another smile. Of course. After all, it is your journey, not mine. Besides, you seem like a good trainer. I bet you have no problem at all. Violet smiled at that.
Thanks, mister.
You can call me Shiro.
Thank you, Shiro.
Anytime. Violet left the building and started toward the east exit out of Pewter City. There were a few fluffy clouds floating in the sky, and the sun was shining brightly. It was going to be a good walk back to Mount Moon, and a good time to try and catch some more Pokemon. Part 22. The Girl on Route 3. The route looked different during the day. Last time Violet had traveled along it toward Pewter City, it had been late at night. It was a lot less ominous in the sunshine, and one could see quite a way, so if any Team Rocket thugs came looking for her again, she would probably see them. There was another change that came with the earlier hours. There were more people traveling the route, and more than a couple kids around her own age were trying to catch Pokemon and battling one another with the ones they had. This inevitably meant that she would be slowed down a lot more on her way to Mount Moon than one brat and a random Spearow had accomplished before. As soon as she had that thought, a girl, maybe a couple years older, called out to Violet.
Hey you!
Yeah, you with the blonde hair. Want a battle?
A part of Violet wanted to say no. She really wanted to get back through Mount Moon as quick as possible. But, at the same time, she would need to train herself and her Pokémon more if she hoped to take on the rest of the gyms. She did not want to make a fool of herself in front of Misty after she had been the one to help Violet get started on her journey. Looking over to the girl, Violet nodded.
Yeah, okay.
The other girl, who had long brown hair that curled slightly, clapped excitedly at Violet's acceptance.
Yay! Let's go!
The girl wasted no time and tossed out a Pokeball, and out emerged a Pidgey. Violet nodded and decided she would match with her own bird Pokemon, and sent out Spearow.
Alright, Katana, this one's yours.
The speed at which Violet's newest Pokemon shot into the air was impressive. Both girls shouted commands to their Pokemon, and the two flew around one another, trying to peck at the other. Then Violet's opponent switched tactics as the birds flew lower to the ground, and she called out,
Sand Attack!
The Pidgey flew fast toward the Spearow, and then opened its wings wide to stop short, and then flapped them hard, blowing up a bunch of sand and debris into its opponent's eyes. Unable to see very well, Katana struggled to land hits while the Pidgey went back to pecking unhindered.
All right, you did good work, but now come back and get some rest.
Violet pointed the Pokeball at the bird, and a familiar beam of light reached out and collected the Spearow. Then Violet pulled out another Pokeball and sent out,
V, your turn!
As soon as the pale Eevee dropped out onto the field, the other girl was shocked.
What is that Pokemon?
It's an Eevee. Have you never seen one?
An Eevee? Really?
The girl squealed in delight.
They're pretty rare, aren't they? I thought they were more brown, though. At least it looks that way in the picture I saw.
Violet shrugged.
Yeah, I've only ever seen this one. Grew up with it. But I just figured they must have different shades. Maybe this one has just gotten gray with old age.
You grew up with it? Really? Wow, how lucky!
All the attention and compliments were making Violet feel a little awkward. She scratched at the side of her head, not sure what to say.
Yeah, I guess. It was my dad's. I'm not sure how or when he caught it. It was before I was around, though. I'm pretty sure.
And your dad let you take it with you?
Violet froze. She had been keeping her mind off what happened to her father as best she could. But the reminders always seemed to sneak up on her. What could she say? If she told the truth, it would bring down the mood, and the other girl seemed to be quite cheery. But then, what should she say? Nothing at all? A lie?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The girl clearly noticed something off, and her eyes narrowed a little in suspicion.
Did you sneak off with your dad's Pokemon?
What? No!
Violet had become very flustered.
Look, it's complicated, but trust me, I didn't do anything wrong.
Does he know you have his Pokemon?
Well, no, but... Look, he would want me to have V with me, just trust me.
The other girl raised an eyebrow.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess we have a way to prove it.
Violet straightened.
We do?
Of course. If that little cutie is totally cool with being with you, then it will battle just fine. Which I would love to see, by the way. An Eevee in action? But if you stole him, well, then he won't listen to you. At least that's what I've heard.
Okay, sure.
Violet smirked. She didn't know if what the girl said was true at all, but it didn't matter. V and her were close, practically family, and he listened to her perfectly.
V, quick attack!
Pidgey, peck!
And the worst thing happened. Pidgey dove down to peck at V, who just sat there, licking its paw. Part 23. Troubling Experience. The Pidgey swooped down and knocked the pale Eevee over. It got up and shook off any dirt and grass it had picked up and watched the bird fly high again. Violet stared in shock as V had completely ignored her. That couldn't be right. V never did that. He probably didn't hear her was the problem. Still, it wasn't a great look when Violet's opponent suspected that the Eevee had been stolen.
All right, let's try this again. V, quick attack!
At the same time, the other girl commanded her Pidgey to peck again. As the bird flew down for a second time, V watched it carefully. Then, as it got closer, the Eevee lowered its front and quickly turned around and started waving its poofy tail at the Pidgey. V was hit again. The girl who was commanding the Pidgey narrowed her eyes. She looked a lot more intense now, seemingly fueled by a righteous cause to rescue the pale Evie from Violet the Thief.
What are you doing, V? Why won't you listen?
You can stop the act,
the other girl called out.
I think it's pretty clear you're a thief.
What? You have no idea.
Hey, little cutie.
The girl called out to V.
I'll help you find your home. You don't have to stay with her.
Violet could not believe the other girl would do such a thing. To try and convince V to leave? He would never do that. Right? She looked at the pale Evie and saw that his ears had perked up. He glanced over to the other girl, who was no longer sending Pidgey to attack.
That's right. I don't want to hurt you anymore. You shouldn't be beat up just because she forced you into battle.
V then looked back at Violet. The look made her heart sink. After growing up with V always around, could he really leave her? Why would he do something like that? Something must be terribly wrong. Stretching, the Eevee rolled lazily to his feet and shook debris from himself again. He looked at Violet once again and started trotting away from her. He then turned to look at the other girl, who was beaming. Not only was she rescuing the poor Pokemon from the one who stole it, but she was about to get to hold an Eevee. And then Eevee jumped into the air and tackled the Pidgey to the ground. The girl clearly didn't understand what was happening. Violet was a little surprised too, but she caught on a little faster, knowing how mischievous V could be sometimes. The Pidgey picked itself back up and started to flap its wings, but V shot around it with a quick attack, knocking the bird right back down.
V, return!
Violet aimed the Pokeball at the furry creature, and it tried to run, but it was too late. With the Eevee safely tucked away, Violet sent out another Pokemon in its place.
Your turn, Mizu.
As the horsey emerged onto the field, the other girl recovered from the shock of V's antics. She did not look happy.
You tricked me!
Violet thought about correcting her and explaining that it was V who had done the tricking. In fact, he had actually fooled both of them. But it didn't seem to be the time and was probably not going to be believed anyway.
Mizu, bubble!
Pidgey, sand attack!
The stream of bubbles snapped at the bird, who in turn flapped its wings violently toward Mizu, getting sand in the horsey's eyes. Violet had Mizu use bubble again, but missed, and the Pidgey continued to throw sand, making it harder and harder for Mizu to see. A few more misses from Mizu, and a lot more sand, and finally the horsey landed a hit, which finished off the Pidgey.
Yes!
Violet exclaimed.
We won!
Pidgey, return!
The girl brought her defeated Pokemon back, but she still looked ready for a fight. Then she threw in another Pokeball, and a second Pidgey popped out.
Go, Pidgey 2!
Smacking herself in the face, Violet groaned. She had just assumed there would only be one to defeat because, except for the gym leader, that's all any of her opponents battled with so far. That's why she didn't care about all the sand attacks, because Mizu just needed one more hit to win. But now her horsey, who was practically blind at the moment, was going to have to face a Pidgey who was fresh and ready for battle.
Mizu, bubble!
Pidgey 2, peck!
Mizu missed. The Pidgey did not. This went on for a few more attacks, and Violet was getting desperate. She had other Pokemon to call out, but she wasn't sure if they'd fare much better and might get hit with a bunch of sand attacks, too. There was still some dust in the air from the last Pidgey's flapping, and some of it clung to Mizu's bubbles. Just like in the battle against the Onix, actually. Suddenly, Violet had an idea.
Mizu, smokescreen!
The horsey looked back at Violet and seemed a little confused. She tried to get Mizu to see the sand on the bubbles and help Mizu remember. The way the Pokemon's eyes lit up, Violet was sure the message had gotten across. Mizu sprayed a cloud of darkness all around, suddenly evening out the playing field. Looked like Mizu had learned a new trick. Many of the bubble attacks still missed, but so did the Pidgey's pecks. Both Pokemon were wearing out, and sweat dripped down each trainer's face.
Pidgey 2, go in low!
Mizu, aim for the wing!
Pull up!
Roll!
Dive!
Bubble!
The Pidgey was headed for the horsey, but then a stream of bubbles snapped against one wing and turned the bird midair and sent it right into a nearby tree. The Pidgey dropped to the ground, defeated.
No!
Violet's opponent crumpled to the ground and buried her face in her hands.
I'm so sorry, Evie. I couldn't rescue you.
Violet sighed. She knew she was going to have to be honest no matter how much she didn't want to talk about it. After all, she couldn't leave the girl wallowing in misery, thinking she failed to rescue a poor stolen Pokemon.
Hey, you didn't fail to rescue anything.
Violet started as she approached the other girl.
There was nothing to rescue here. I told you the truth. The Eevee was my dad's.
The girl looked up and suddenly got to her feet when she saw Violet getting close.
Yeah, right. It didn't want to listen to you. And you've made it mean and tricky.
Violet rolled her eyes.
Are you kidding me? How can it not listen to me and I trained it to trick?
Violet trailed off. The girl's flawed logic was exasperating, but yelling at her wasn't going to solve anything, and it was going to make Violet look guilty on at least one of those accusations when neither were actually true. Taking a deep breath, Violet tried again.
The truth is, my dad died.
Violet was struggling to hold it together, and the other girl put a hand to her mouth and gasped.
Yeah, we got in trouble with some Clefairy, and he fell in Mount Moon on the way to Pewter City. So that's why I have this Eevee. His Zubat too, actually.
There was no need for the information about the Zubat, but she felt it was best to make sure all Pokemon that were not hers originally got accounted for.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
The word got stuck in Violet's throat, and suddenly the other girl wrapped her arms tightly around Violet.
What are...
The girl just hugged tighter, and Violet began to realize how much she needed that. She stopped resisting, and just let it happen, and soon the tears were pouring from her face, and the girl, who barely even knew her and moments ago wanted to beat her into the ground, started to sob too. There was no real way to tell how long this went on, but when it started to end and the girl released her grip, Violet sniffed and wiped at her face. She looked at the girl, who was no longer her opponent, and wanted to say something, but had no idea what. Thanks didn't seem like enough. The girl gave a smile and a little nod that seemed to say, "You're welcome," as if she understood Violet's thoughts. Then the two gathered their battered Pokemon and walked back into Pewter City together, as Violet had not gotten very far yet. The Pokemon were restored at the Pokemon Center, and Violet and the girl chatted while they waited. It turned out the girl's name was Janice, and she was working on becoming an expert on flying-type Pokemon. As lunchtime passed, the Pokemon were restored, and so were Violet's spirits. Janice thanked Violet for letting her pet V, and Janice explained that sometimes Pokemon that have been traded start to struggle to follow commands. It takes a little extra work to battle with those Pokemon, but if the effort is put in, the results are usually quite stunning. The two girls hugged as they said goodbye, and Violet, once again, set forth along Route 3.
Part 25. Many Annoying Returns.
After recovering her Pokemon from the center, Violet had ventured back onto Route 3. She battled and won against three other trainers and managed to catch herself a Pidgey, which she gave the name Pilot. She had almost nabbed a Jigglypuff too, but it sang Mizu to sleep and then ran away. There was another stop at the Pokemon Center right outside the entrance of Mount Moon, and then it was time to make her way back through it so she could return to Cerulean City. She stood outside the entrance and simply stared inside, a cold and empty feeling inside of her. That was where her dad had fallen. While plenty had happened in the days after, it really hadn't been long since that event.
Hey, it's okay. It might look scary, but it ain't that bad.
Violet jumped when she heard the unexpected voice of a boy nearby. She looked over as he straightened the strap on his bag.
If you want, I could walk through it with... You!
Frowning, the girl took a moment longer to recognize the boy, who had apparently already remembered her. It was the obnoxious kid that insisted on battling her with the Rattata. Violet rolled her eyes.
You owe me a rematch after the way you cheated last time!
Violet sighed.
I do not. Will you please just...
Birdie, go!
The kid threw out a Pokeball, and out emerged a Pidgey he apparently had since added to his collection. The boy stood there in anticipation of the Pokemon Violet would send out. She shook her head and gave him a dismissive wave.
Buzz off!
And she walked right by him and his Pokemon and headed into the dark opening of Mount Moon. The girl muttered to herself over the annoyance of the trainer she left behind, scaring off a couple of Zubat. They screeched as they flew off, and a moment later, shouts echoed off the walls.
Get away! Ah!
Violet thought she recognized the voice and sped up her walk through the cool caverns of Mount Moon, but it didn't take long for hurried feet hitting the stone floor to draw close. There was a heavy intake of breath, and then...
Don't wait up or anything! Yeesh!
Violet clenched her jaw. She wondered why the trainer had to be so persistent. She almost opened her mouth to tell him off and let him know that
there's no reason to wait since I have no intention of traveling with you.
But it seemed that would just open up conversation, and she feared she would never be rid of him then. So ignoring the brat was the path she decided to try. It didn't work. Instead, the boy kept up and prattled on and on about his Rattata, how he caught his Pidgey, and that he hoped to catch a Geodude before reaching the end of Mount Moon. That last bit of information gave Violet an idea.
Yeah, I found and battled a Geodude almost right away when I first came into Mount Moon.
The boy stopped walking for just a second, surprised she was finally speaking. Violet just continued to walk, however, and so the boy had to hurry to catch back up.
Wait, you've been in here before?
Yep, I came from Cerulean City.
Oh, wow! No wonder you were able to take down my Rattata so quickly.
Violet shrugged.
So, did you catch the Geodude?
She shook her head.
No, my horsey turned out to be too much for it.
You have a horsey? Where did you manage to catch that?
Oh, it was one of my choices to get me started on my journey.
Really? I didn't know they had different choices in other—
Wait! What's that over there?
Violet pointed excitedly over toward a large, open area of the cave.
I think that rock just moved. I bet it's a Geodude!
The boy started turning rapidly back and forth between Violet and the vague area she was pointing in.
What? Where?
Just over by that wall. I think it's going to make a run for it.
I won't let it!
And the boy ran off to catch the Geodude that Violet did not actually see at all. She grinned, pleased that her plan had worked, and she turned back to traveling along the path that would take her to Cerulean. It was about 15 minutes later when a Paris crept around the corner right into her path. She instinctively went for Mizu, but then recalled the battle they had witnessed between one Paris and a boy and his Squirtle. So she pulled out the Pidgey instead.
Go, pilot!
The Paris tried to fight back against the Pidgey and managed to get a hit in, but though Pilot was inexperienced so far, it had the advantage of flying around. When it seemed the Paris was weak enough, Violet reached for a Pokeball and found that she had no empty ones left.
Dang.
Oh dear, that's never a fun experience.
Violet whirled and saw a figure obscured in shadow. Then, slowly, each step clicking along the stone, the woman stepped forward, dressed all in black. Part 26. The Gifter. The woman in black took another step closer, and Violet flinched back. The girl examined the woman carefully, looking for any sign of an R on her clothing, as she suspected that she had just run into another member of the Rocket Group, or whatever they were called. She was dressed in what might have been sensible attire for an office setting, but certainly seemed odd for spelunking purposes. But as for an R, well, if it was anywhere, it would have to have been hidden underneath that blazer or something. Adjusting her black-rimmed glasses, the woman smiled at Violet.
A little jumpy, it would seem.
She reached into a purse and pulled out what looked like a Pokeball, but it was blue and white instead of the usual red and white. The woman tossed it over to Violet, which surprised the girl, and she barely managed to catch it.
Try that. It'll work great. Trust me.
Violet eyed the woman, not ready to just trust anyone, and then she examined the Pokeball.
You might want to hurry. That Paris is about to run away.
Sure enough, the Paris was getting back onto its feet. Not having other Pokeballs to choose from, Violet went ahead and tossed the blue one at the Paris. It collided, and suddenly the Pokemon was zapped inside. It wiggled a little as the light blinked, but soon there was the telltale clicking of the lock, and the Pokemon was captured. Violet looked back at the woman.
Thank you. That was really nice, Miss...
Kuro.
Violet nodded.
Thank you, Miss Kuro.
The woman smiled.
Just Kuro is fine.
Another nod from Violet, but she didn't feel there was a need to repeat her thanks again.
Headed out to Cerulean City, I take it? A young trainer on her quest for the badges?
Yeah, that's right.
Violet looked the woman over again as she was wrestling with herself on whether or not it would be rude to ask the woman why she was there dressed like that.
Well, here.
The woman took a few steps toward Violet, which caused her to flinch again, though a little less this time.
It is all right. I am not going to bite you or anything.
Then the woman pulled out a few more of the blue and white Pokeballs and offered them up to Violet.
What?
The girl didn't want to presume some woman was just going to hand her a bunch of Pokeballs, even if that's exactly what it looked like was happening.
Go ahead, take them. I have plenty.
But why would you just give a stranger a bunch of your Pokeballs?
Trainers such as yourself are a treasure in this world. To see you succeed on your journey and catch as many Pokemon you can find is something I would very much like to be a part of.
Violet was beginning to think the woman was just plain odd. But better odd than a member of the Rockets and trying to steal her Pokemon or push her over a cliff.
Okay. Well, thanks again, I guess. Kiro.
The woman beamed as Violet took the Pokeballs.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Now, just be aware that these Pokeballs are better than the regular red and whites, so you'll want to use them sparingly, to save some for any Pokemon that are a little trickier to catch.
Oh, okay. So I'll probably want to buy some regular ones again once I get to Cerulean.
That would be for the best. There are so many creatures to catch out there, and if you used these, you would run out in no time at all.
Violet tucked away the Pokeballs.
Well, thanks again. That was very kind of you to...
There were rapid footsteps coming from behind, and Violet thought she heard that brat she left behind calling out for her.
Oh, great. Sorry, I really need to get going.
Picked up a nuisance on your way through?
Violet rolled her eyes.
Something like that.
Well, you go ahead, Violet. I'll slow him down a little. Give you a chance to lose him.
The girl almost stepped in to hug the helpful woman, but stopped herself.
Just assume I'm forever thankful at this point.
Kuro let out a soft laugh and gave a nod to Violet. The girl took her cue and hurried further up the path. Half a minute later, she could hear the boy ask if Kuro had seen Violet, and the woman did not sound like she was even answering the question, merely redirecting the conversation. Violet was not going to forget the kindness of the random and out-of-place stranger that helped her that day, and she hoped, someday, after earning her badges and facing the Elite Four, that maybe she could be as helpful to someone else, just like Kuro had been to her. Part 28. Pink and Green. Emerging from the caves of Mount Moon, Violet had to shield her eyes against the bright sunlight. She blinked a few times, and her eyes eventually adjusted to the brighter environment. Off in the distance, she could see the outskirts of Cerulean City. Much closer to where she stood, Violet could see and hear two trainers battling. One was using a Paris, while the other had a Mankey.
Oof, a fighting type against Bug? Hopefully that Mankey's trainer has been working hard with their Pokemon. Bit of an uphill battle.
From a distance, Violet watched for a bit, interested to see how the Paris performed since she had recently just caught one of her own. Perhaps she could learn something. Before that could happen, there was a sudden shout farther down the route. The two trainers were too involved in their battle and shouting commands that it didn't seem either of them heard it, so it was up to Violet to see if someone needed help. Rushing off, Violet didn't hear any further shouting, and so she wasn't sure if she was even headed in the right direction. Then, just as Violet was about to give up, another shout pierced the air.
No!
It came from somewhere behind Violet. She must have missed them somewhere in the tall grass and walked right by. She headed for the sound, hoping she wasn't too late to help. Her eyes were scanning through the grass as she rushed over, and then she finally saw a sign. There was a section of grass that was rustling a decent amount. Could have been just a wild Pokemon, of course, and so Violet made sure she had a Pokeball in hand to toss into battle, should she need to. Whatever was in the grass started to get closer. Violet raised the Pokeball over her shoulder, ready to throw. As soon as it burst out of the grass, Violet fired the ball forward. It connected with a crack and...
Ow!
And then the Pokeball unleashed Mizu, the horsey.
Mizu, use Wait, ow?
Yes, ow. Something just knocked me right in the head.
Oh no.
Violet said, sure she recognized that voice.
It's all right.
The girl said, getting to her feet.
I've survived worse. Losing out on the Ekans, on the other hand.
The girl looked up, rubbing her forehead, and then blinked in confusion, clearly not expecting to see Violet.
Oh, hi!
After a brief silence, the girl spoke up again.
It's me, Hanako. We've run into each other a couple of times before.
Violet nodded.
Yeah, I remember.
Her tone was flat. She did not like the pink-haired girl, but she had just pelted her with a Pokeball, so to just walk away felt like it would be extremely rude.
Though,
she thought,
the girl kinda deserves it after what she did to my Clefairy. So,
Violet tried to find something to say, so that hopefully she could get it all over with as quickly as possible and move on towards Cerulean City.
In Ekans, huh?
Hanako's eyes went wide with excitement.
Yeah, but not just any Ekans. You know how they're usually purple? Well, not this one.
The girl leaned in and spoke slightly quieter.
This one was green.
Violet raised an eyebrow.
Green? I've never heard of a green Ekans.
Right? It was sort of a... I don't know. Sort of the color of grass. But maybe grass that hasn't had a lot of water lately.
You sure you didn't just see grass? Maybe a stick hidden behind some of the blades to make it seem like there was something more there?
Oh, it was definitely an Ekans. Almost got strawberry. But then I switched out for Lala and sang it to sleep. Unfortunately, it broke out of my Pokeball anyway and then slithered off. And it blended in really well that I don't think I'll find it now.
The girl suddenly looked sad, and maybe like she was about to cry. Violet did not know how to handle the sudden emotional turn.
Hey, look, I think maybe it wasn't an Ekans at all. It probably was a trick of the light in the grass, and you didn't actually miss out on something so unique?
The pink-haired girl looked up, and now there were definitely tears in her eyes.
Why don't you believe me? I know what I saw. It would have been so cool to actually have caught it. I bet no one else has an Ekans that looks like it.
I think you're probably right,
Violet agreed. After all, how could anyone have something that doesn't exist? Hanako looked at Violet with a gleam of hope that quickly dimmed and she frowned.
Oh, because you still don't believe...
Hey, yeah! A distant voice started. Have you seen a girl go by here recently? Violet held up a hand to stop Hanako from talking, and she whirled around and tried to peer up over the grass back toward the entrance to Mount Moon. Just as she had expected, the voice belonged to the trainer she had ditched in the mountain caves. He was talking to the two trainers who had been battling.
Just great.
Violet turned back to the pink-haired girl, who looked a little confused.
Look, sorry you lost your green Ekans, and I'm sorry for hitting you in the head with a Pokeball, but I've got to go.
What's wrong?
Hanako asked.
Nothing. I mean, I don't have time to get into it. See you around, okay?
Violet started hurrying off towards Cerulean again, but Hanako just started marching along right on her heels. Violet stopped.
Why are you following me?
The girl shrugged.
I'm not. We're just both heading the same direction.
Sighing, Violet shook her head.
Of course we are.
She started pushing forward again.
Well, can you walk farther away? Together we draw too much attention.
Hanako tilted her head as she continued to follow.
Attention?
She looked back and saw the boy finishing up his conversation with the battlers.
Oh, you don't want to be spotted by that boy. You have a crush on him or something?
That got Violet to stop again.
What? No! He's just a pest!
She started up again, but continued to try to explain why she doesn't want to be seen.
He just won't leave me alone and keep...
Just then, Violet yelled as she suddenly vanished before Hanako's eyes. Part 29. Twist of Fate. Violet lay in the grass at the bottom of a small cliff. Her body ached a bit from the fall, but it didn't seem too bad. Her bigger concern was the sound of Pokemon lurking nearby. She moved to get up and immediately cried out. Her ankle throbbed with pain.
Are you okay?
Violet looked up where Hanako, the pink-haired girl, was leaning over the short cliff. With a single thumbs up, Violet tried to get up again.
Yeah, I'm fine. Ow!
She flopped back down. She didn't want to admit she needed help to Hanako, but she didn't really have much of a choice.
I think I twisted my ankle or something.
Oh, ow. I'll be right down, okay?
Then Hanako leapt from the cliff. Violet, surprised, started to tell her to stop, but then, realizing it was too late, she flung her arms up around her head and curled into a ball to protect herself as best she could from the other girl possibly landing hard on top of her. But nothing happened. Nothing landed on Violet, and nothing landed nearby. Unless Hanako was some kind of ninja and could land without a sound. Violet rolled her eyes at the thought.
The way that girl runs into things and shatters,
she thought,
there is no way.
Peeking out from under her arms, Violet saw Hanako was still in the air and just floating gently down. It seemed impossible at first, and then she noticed the Jigglypuff just above the pink-haired girl.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah, Lola is really helpful. Do you have a Jigglypuff?
Violet shook her head and chuckled.
Almost. Run into them twice already.
Sang your Pokemon to sleep, huh?
And me.
Oh, really?
Hanako giggled.
Yeah, actually, it was right after going over another cliff. Well, more a ledge, I guess. Seems like I have a talent for taking a fall.
Hanako offered a hand, and Violet took it. It was a struggle to get up, and Hanako, being smaller and lighter than the other girl, was almost pulled down to the ground instead. The two managed a few steps, but it was not a smooth process. When Violet almost toppled over, she instinctively put her foot out to stop herself. The shock of pain made her cry out again, and she tried to grip Hanako to prop herself up, but ended up just dragging the pink-haired girl down with her.
I'm sorry,
Violet said.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
Well, this isn't sustainable, is it?
What isn't?
Hanako turned her head slightly toward Violet, but she was preoccupied with something else that Violet couldn't see.
Me leaning on you? We've barely made it 5 feet.
Oh yeah, right, feet.
Violet raised an eyebrow.
Maybe if we ate the purple grass the floating head is looking at, we could get to the moon.
Sounds good,
Hanako said absently.
What are you so fascinated with?
Hanako snapped her head around and blinked.
What?
You weren't listening to anything I was saying.
Sorry, I just thought I saw something deeper in the grass. Probably a Pokemon, but I couldn't quite make out what it was.
Violet scooted a little closer, babying her ankle to keep it from hurting too much.
Oh yeah? Where?
Hanako looked around and adjusted her head to try and find out what it was she saw.
There. I think that's it. See? It looks kind of pink.
Violet narrowed her eyes, trying to see through the thick blades of grass.
Like a Jigglypuff?
Yeah, kind of, but it isn't as round.
Then, for the briefest moment, Violet thought she might have seen what it was Hanako saw. But it was gone the second her eyes found it, snaking off through the grass and out of sight.
Aw, it's gone,
Hanako moaned.
Did you see it?
I'm not sure. Maybe?
The pink-haired girl shrugged.
I wish I knew what it was.
Maybe it was just a ribbon or something.
Frowning, Hanako said,
you have trouble believing things, don't you?
What? No, I mean, I believe a lot of stuff. I believe the sky's above us, I believe you're here, and I believe that I'm hurt.
And I believe in fate, said a voice that was not either of the girls sitting in the grass. In fact, it wasn't a girl's voice at all. Oh, and I really should thank you, the voice said to Violet. You have a keen eye. Look what I caught. A Pokeball landed between Violet and Hanako, and out burst a Geodude. I call him Bulldy. Part 30. A Crowd.
Actually?
Hanako started as she got to her feet.
You call her Bulldy.
Huh? The boy replied intelligently.
Her. You know, your Geodude? She's a girl.
The boy looked at the Geodude and then at the pink-haired girl, still confused. What are you talking about? How would you know? Hanako shrugged.
She's more jagged. Males are a little smoother. Professor Elm thinks it has to do with blending in better with other rocks as a means of protection.
The boy stared at Hanako, and Violet thought she recognized the expression. It was the same expression Violet wore every time she had run into Hanako. Or the obnoxious boy himself, actually. Professor Elm? What? He turned to Violet. Who is this girl? But before she could answer, he looked back over to the pink-haired girl. Who are you?
Hanako.
Okay, well, thanks, Hanako, I guess. He turned back to Violet. So what are you two doing?
What's your name?
Hanako chirped, seemingly oblivious to the boy switching topics.
Actually, I don't think I remember your name either,
she said to Violet.
That's because I never told you,
Violet thought.
Not sure I want to now either.
Oh, sorry, the boy said. He reached out a hand. I'm Trevor. Hanako gripped the offered hand and shook it excitedly.
Nice to meet you.
Then the two slowly turned their eyes to Violet and stared.
I'm not telling either of you my name,
Violet thought as she stared at a blade of grass she was toying with.
In fact, I think I need to get out of here. This is quickly becoming a crowd, and I would rather not travel with these people.
Still not saying a word, Violet gave the other two a quick smile and then started to climb back onto her feet so she could leave. The poor girl had forgotten that she couldn't put any weight on her injured leg, and Violet quickly collapsed back to the ground with a cry of pain. Trevor rushed over to her side, Hanako a moment behind.
What happened? Are you okay?
She twisted her ankle when she fell off the cliff back there.
Hanako jerked a thumb over her shoulder to indicate the area she was talking about. Oh, ow! Well, here, let me help you out. Both Hanako and Trevor started taking Violet's arms to help her to her feet, but she yanked them back hard.
No, thank you. I'd rather not.
Violet tried once again to get up, off the ground.
I'll just get myself to Cerulean City, and then I'll be...
She winced in pain.
I'll be fine.
Violet stood on one leg, with her other foot just touching the ground with the tip of her shoe. Her arms were stretched out in both directions to offer her some balance.
See, I'm all right.
The skeptical looks from the other two annoyed Violet even more, and so she started off to prove her point. She barely put any weight on the bad foot and quickly stepped with the other. But each step took great effort and caused plenty of pain. She looked back and saw the two watching her, uncertain what to do. After about 10 steps, Violet felt she was getting the hang of it. The pain wasn't going away, but it became familiar and she thought she could handle it. Her progress was slow going, but if it meant she didn't need to lean on Hanako or Trevor, then it was worth it. Somewhere, during that last consideration, was when her good foot found a root sticking up out of the ground, and Violet was back in the dirt.
Ow!
She moaned quietly into the ground. Then she sighed heavily. She really didn't want to do what she was about to do, but her circumstances had beaten her. Closing her eyes and clenching her fists, she willed herself to speak the word.
Help.
What?
Hanako asked. It was a genuine question, as Violet had spoken it quietly, and she was still facing the ground. Violet's jaw clenched, and she said, a little louder,
Help.
Then after a couple of seconds,
Please.
Hanako and Trevor hurried over and helped Violet up, each of them draping one of her arms over their shoulders. The added presence of Trevor certainly made the mission of getting Violet to town seem a lot more possible.
Oh, this is much easier,
Hanako said.
Thanks for your help, Trevor.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I help? Especially after she helped me catch a Geodude.
That was nice of her.
Definitely. She isn't perfect, though.
No one is.
Sure, but I really don't like it when people cheat in trainer battles.
She cheated?
Totally. When she went up against me the other night...
Oh, for crying out loud!
Violet was fuming. It was bad enough to rely on Trevor for some help, and that he thought she had tried to help him catch that Geodude. But bringing up his idea of cheating in a battle was more than she could take. The entire trio almost fell when Violet stopped hopping along between the other two.
I did not cheat!
Hanako looked a little nervous and was able to step back since Violet had pulled her arms free. She was balancing on her one foot again.
You totally did, Trevor argued. You used more than one Pokemon against my single Pokemon.
Hanako gave a sympathetic look to Violet.
That is cheating, actually. If you agree on a certain amount of Pokemon, you should only...
But I didn't.
You didn't agree on a specific number?
I didn't even agree to battle.
Violet threw her arms energetically into the air and almost fell over again. She caught herself, but not before the other two started to lunge forward. They eased back slightly when it turned out she didn't need to be caught at that moment, but they both remained tense.
This jerk continued to try and block my path unless I battled him, and then when I got by him, he threw a Pokemon at me anyway.
And then you suckered me. You knew I only had the one, and then you just started throwing all your Pokemon at me.
What? I did not. You wouldn't let go, and so I tried to satisfy you, and it wasn't enough for you.
Because you did like one thing and were going to give up.
Yeah, because I didn't have the time and I needed to get going.
So you should have just finished the battle with your first Pokemon.
At the speed you were going, it would have taken forever.
So then you decided to cheat and toss in a second one?
Hanako managed to nudge Trevor into helping her carry Violet again. Violet was too engaged in her argument that she didn't even really notice that she was being helped along, and she just accepted it. The poor, pink-haired girl just stared ahead, her eyes wide in disbelief at how the other two carried on all the way to Cerulean City.
Part 32. Cerulean Sunset. Cerulean City took on shades of orange and pink as the sun descended. The nearby river glittered in the twilight and building windows began to glow, some from the sun's reflection and some from electric light within. At the edge of the city, a Pokemon cut through overgrowth that had clogged an entrance. Once cleared, the Pokemon was returned to its Pokeball, and the city was entered. Meanwhile, on the west side of Cerulean, a trio of exhausted children stumbled across its borders. Trevor collapsed to his knees, Hanako rolled over onto her back, and Violet leaned against the side of a building, keeping weight off her injured ankle.
Finally,
Hanako sighed. Violet looked over at the girl and decided that maybe she wasn't the worst person she had ever met after all. Well, for someone who wasn't trying to commit crimes, that is. Those rocket thugs were certainly the worst.
Hopefully I don't have to listen to you two whine and bicker anymore,
Hanako said.
Okay,
Violet thought.
Maybe she is one of the worst.
Hey, it isn't my fault that she keeps...
Hanako put a hand up to signal Trevor to stop.
That wasn't an invitation.
Violet was exhausted and wanted to rest a little longer, but she was afraid that the tenuous connection between her and the other two was about to snap, and she really wanted to get to the Pokemon Center before that happened. She couldn't just outright ask them to help her the rest of the way, though. Not after they had worked so hard to get her into town already.
Thank you guys so much. I would still be crawling my way here if it weren't for you two. I know we're all super tired, and we will be able to rest so much better at the Pokemon Center.
Trevor looked down the street and could see the glowing sign of the center.
Yeah, we should push on.
There was another sigh from Hanako as she rolled her head and slowly got to her feet.
All right, let's do this.
Trevor and Hanako each took one of Violet's arms again, and they helped her limp forward. They reached a crossroads, and just ahead was the Pokemon Center. Coming from the connecting street was a bulky figure cast in shadows of nearby buildings. The trio stopped as it got closer. Then, right at the corner, the figure stopped. There were layers of clothing which seemed to create some of the bulk to its silhouette. Some of the light from the Pokemon Center spilled over toward it, but the figure was too covered in clothing to make out any features that would have been visible. After a moment, it jerked its head toward the trio, where one green eye could be seen peering over its shoulder. The trio, surprised, jumped back a step.
"You should get inside," came the gruff voice of a man. "It's dangerous out tonight."
Without waiting for any sort of response, the man turned to his right and headed further down the street that the trio had been on. It looked to Violet like he might be headed to the Cerulean Gym. Once the trio recovered from that moment of suspense, they moved a little faster to get into the Pokemon Center. Once they had entered the safety of the building, they went up to the counter and arranged care for their Pokemon and someplace they could all rest. There was only one room available, so they were still unable to get away from one another. But it didn't matter much, as they were all too tired to say much of anything as they got settled for some sleep. Violet was in bed, which was right next to the window, and from there, she could see the Cerulean Gym. She started to feel nervous about seeing Misty again. It wasn't that long ago that Violet had received her Pokemon there, and now she was already back, and she had to wonder if she was ready. Mizu had definitely gained some battle experience, but was it enough to combat other water Pokemon? Not just water Pokemon, but ones trained by a gym leader? Then there was V, who was pretty strong, but after that last battle where he ignored Violet's commands, he didn't seem the best option. She did have a Pokemon with some advantage against water with her recently caught Paris, but then again, it was recently caught, and hadn't really had a chance to be trained. That just left Lucky, who might also not listen very well, Spur, and Pilot, another Pokemon that hadn't been really trained in yet.
You're going to challenge the gym tomorrow?
Violet turned her head and saw Hanako looking at her. Not knowing the answer, Violet just sat silent for a moment and then shrugged.
You might not want to if your leg still hurts, Trevor said from the floor, where he was inside a sleeping bag. Could be distracting.
Well,
Hanako started.
I'm planning to. It would be nice if I had an electric Pokemon, or maybe some more grass types. But Leafage has a pretty good shot, I think.
Violet frowned, not overly familiar with Hanako's Pokemon, or their names, and Trevor voiced the main question in her head.
Who's Leafage?
Hanako smiled brightly.
Oh, just a bit of a mischievous Pokemon of mine.
She tossed out a Pokeball, and then her Bellsprout popped out. Violet's face instantly twisted into a scowl before she could even remember why she would have such an adverse reaction to that particular Pokemon. But the memories came back fast, and she almost said something. Thankfully, before she could, there was a flash outside the window like lightning. That's what she thought it was at first, but no thunder followed, and the sky didn't look particularly cloudy.
What was that?
Hanako moved over to the window. Trevor sat up, his curiosity piqued.
What was what?
There was another flash, and this time Violet and Hanako could tell it was coming from the gym.
Someone must be challenging the gym leader.
Violet rolled her eyes at the obvious statement.
At this time of night?
Trevor was out of his bag now and standing next to Hanako, trying to peer out the window.
Must be that guy we saw outside.
This caused another eye roll from Violet, as she thought that seemed pretty obvious as well. There was a loud crashing sound, and then water hit one of the windows hard, creating an interesting effect, when lights flashed for a third time. They all remained curiously staring at the window for a while, trying to imagine just how the battle was going. But soon, Violet found her eyes drifting out of focus, and eventually shutting. She fought it off another minute or two, and then she was down for the count. Learning what happened at the gym was something she could worry about in the morning.
Part 33. Unruly Cerulean. When Violet woke up the next morning, both Trevor and Hanako were nowhere to be seen. Her first thought was that it seemed rude to just leave without saying goodbye. But then she remembered she didn't really want them around anyway. She swung her feet over the edge of the bed and then stopped short of getting up, remembering that her ankle had been hurt. She gingerly put her feet on the ground and slowly started to stand, adding weight gradually to see if it still hurt. It did, but not nearly as much as the day before. Finding she could move slowly and with a bit of a limp, Violet got ready for the day and headed down to the Pokemon Center lobby. At the desk, she gathered her Pokemon, who were all refreshed, and the nurse asked about Violet's ankle. She warned Violet that she should probably rest longer, but the young girl couldn't do that. After all, Hanako was already gone, and probably had earned herself a second badge. That reminded Violet about the battle that took place late last night at the gym, and she decided the gym had to be her next stop. She wasn't really feeling confident she could win a battle there, but she couldn't let Hanako increase her lead. Once Violet reached the gym, she entered and was instantly greeted.
Yo, champ in the making!
Violet looked up and saw a bespectacled man standing next to a stone that had the gym leader's name inscribed on it.
Oh, hey, wait! The guy spoke again. I recognize you. You chose, Horsey, right?
Violet nodded.
Yeah, I did. Named Mizu.
Seems a good name. Well, I guess you don't need me to tell you about the gym leader and her preferred type of Pokemon, do you?
No, I'm pretty familiar.
And you know its weaknesses?
Grass and electric. Yep, I got it.
Great. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Violet said as she started in, but then she stopped before getting too far.
Oh, hey, I do have a question, though.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
Has a pink-haired girl come by, win her badge?
The guy raised an eyebrow.
Not that I recall. Only person who came for a battle today was some kid with a Rattata and a Geodude. He really shouldn't have brought that Geodude out, though. I tried to warn him, but he just blew right past me.
Violet smirked. She knew who that was, and wasn't surprised that he charged into battle without thinking.
Still, thanks to his Rattata and a little help from a Pidgey, he earned his badge.
That knocked the smile right off Violet's face. She huffed and marched in, not about to be outdone by that kid and his annoying rat.
Oh, Violet, hi.
Misty looked surprised to see the young girl.
I was wondering where you were.
What? Why?
Well, when you didn't show up last night, it seemed odd.
I wasn't going to challenge you that late, and I twisted my ankle on the way here.
Misty glanced down at Violet's ankle, and it seemed almost as if a puzzle piece had just clicked into place instead of the whole picture being completed.
What happened there?
Violet shrugged.
I'm a little clumsy.
That gave the girl a much more suspicious look from the gym leader. Violet was starting to get the feeling something was not right. The conversation seemed to make sense for the most part, but also not. It was as if the two were almost speaking different languages. Misty rubbed at the back of her neck, and by the gym leader's expression, Violet thought she looked a little lost.
What happened to your father?
The question pained Violet. She could feel her face twitch as she recalled her father's fall the first time through Mount Moon. Misty's concern grew as she noticed the shift in the young trainer.
I can see it hurts, Violet, and I'm so sorry. But anything you can tell me will help.
Violet was growing frustrated with how confusing the conversation was going, and the fact that it was forcing her to confront her pain more did not help.
It was in Mount Moon. Everything just went wrong. There were these...
An explosion rocked the gym walls, and both Violet and Misty looked around to see if they could find the source. Then they both rushed outside, realizing it hadn't happened in the building. Outside, people were running off, most of them in the same direction, away from the commotion. Violet chose to run toward it. Turning down the last street, she came upon a small crowd gathered around three individuals. Two of the figures must have been members of the Rocket Gang, as they both had an R displayed prominently on their shirts. The other figure looked to be the same man Violet and the others crossed paths with the night before. Each of them had a Pokemon out in the middle of a T-intersection where they faced off. The rocket person on the road to the left had an Ekans, while the one straight down the road had a Rhyhorn standing in a hole it had created in a nearby house. That had likely been the explosion of sound that had rocked the gym. The stranger's Pokemon was only a little far-fetched that looked out of place against its larger adversaries. Violet looked at the scene and felt a mix of emotions. She hated the rocket thugs and all the trouble they had caused her, but she also didn't need to draw more attention to herself with them. Still, it was an unfair fight, and she hated that too. Hoping she could stay out of it, she calculated the stranger's chances and realized that if the Rhyhorn knew any rock moves, it wouldn't look good for the far-fetched. Violet sighed as she pulled out a Pokeball. There wasn't any helping it. She was going to get involved.
Mizu, go!
Part 35. Showdown in Cerulean.
Mizu, go!
The horsey shot forward from the Pokeball, and Violet wasted no time shouting out orders.
Send some bubbles to that Rhyhorn!
The two members of Team Rocket and the stranger were all surprised at the sudden commotion that had just interrupted their standoff. It wasn't until after the bubbles connected successfully with the Rhyhorn that they all started to respond.
Ekans, go after that horsey!
Called out the grunt from the left. His Pokemon obeyed, and it slithered with amazing speed toward Mizu. Violet was shocked at the Ekans' speed, but even more surprising is what she saw beyond the grunt and his Pokemon. Just behind him was a bridge that crossed a river out of town, and on that bridge were a handful of trainers. Among that group was Trevor.
Mizu, quick! Hit that Ekans!
The commands came too late, and Horsey couldn't respond in time. The Ekans wrapped itself around Mizu and began to squeeze. At that same time, the other Rocket Thug sent his Rhyhorn charging, but not at a Pokemon. The large beast was headed straight for Violet herself. She was quickly realizing she was in over her head and in a kind of battle that didn't follow traditional rules, or likely any rules at all.
Sand attack!
The Farfetch'd landed right between Violet and the charging Pokemon. It then flapped its wings wildly, whipping up a bunch of sand and dirt right at the Rhyhorn.
Pound them!
Boomed another command from the stranger. Whether intentional or not, Violet had just been saved from the Rhyhorn as it veered off course, having difficulty seeing. She used that opportunity to tell Mizu to unleash a smokescreen. The situation was too dangerous and chaotic. Some cover would help her and the stranger get away from the rocket people. Then she called out to her friend.
Trevor!
It was not time to be picky about who she got help from. Not when the rocket jerks didn't care whether or not they hurt or even killed others in whatever they were trying to do. Horsey was covering the area in darkness while it still struggled to get free of the Ekans. Then something pink crashed directly into Mizu and the Ekans and sent them all tumbling toward the bridge that became more obscured by the Horsey's smokescreen. Violet panicked and chased after them.
Cut!
The strange bird Pokemon zoomed forward and made a slashing motion with its leak, and suddenly the bridge began to fall apart.
Ekans!
Cried out the Pokemon's trainer. There was the sound of something hitting water, and Violet's stomach sank. Had Mizu been sent tumbling down with the Ekans?
No, not again!
This painfully reminded her of the incident of the Bellsprout knocking her newly captured Pokemon off a cliff.
Mizu!
Violet's cries were cut off from a fit of coughing as she choked on the smokescreen still lingering about.
Not so fast, the stranger shouted.
It was followed by the startled cry of the Ekans trainer.
You and I need to talk, Matthews.
Just not here, came a firm but calm voice that must have belonged to the rocket grunt with the Rhyhorn. Let's find some place a little quieter. Violet cursed the smokescreen she had Mizu send up. She could only hear the conversation and get glimpses of where people were, and they weren't staying still. Finally, she found the stranger, and she nearly jumped out of her skin when she saw one piercing eye staring straight at her. Then he nodded.
All right, let's go.
As the smoke cleared, the stranger and both members of the Rockets were riding the Rhyhorn toward the south, leaving Violet alone with her Horsey missing.
Are you okay?
Violet looked up and saw Trevor across the river. She shook her head.
No!
She called back.
My Horsey fell!
Just use that!
Trevor pointed at something on Violet's side of the river, and when she looked down, she saw a fishing rod.
I think one of the trainers on the bridge might have dropped it when it collapsed!
Clinging on to a small shred of hope, Violet snatched up the rod and cast the line down into the river. It took only seconds before there was a tug, and, sure enough, Mizu was clinging to the other end. Once the Horsey was up, the girl hugged it tightly and looked over at Trevor.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
He looked at the remnants of the bridge clinging to his side of the river.
Glad I already earned my badge. Not sure when I'll be able to get back over there.
Violet, now reunited with her Pokemon, surveyed the damage more closely. She wondered why the Farfetch'd had done that. Had she misread the entire situation? After all, the stranger rode along with the rocket guys in the end and even seemed to know at least one of them. Were they working together all along? And if so, then why did they want to destroy that bridge? She wasn't likely to figure out the answers standing there.
Yeah, that was lucky.
Ha! Luck! It was all skill!
I doubt that. I've battled you before, remember?
And you cheated, remember?
Violet rolled her eyes.
So you've convinced yourself to believe?
Unlike their other rounds of that same argument, neither of them seemed to actually be arguing this time. Violet couldn't be sure why it didn't bother her as much, but she figured that maybe it had something to do with knowing she wasn't going to have to worry about that brat for a while now. Trevor smiled, amused by their banter.
Well, I guess I'll see you around. Good luck!
Thanks.
Violet responded.
You too.
Violet decided that she couldn't waste any more time. She needed to go for her second badge. Looking down at Mizu, she was about to speak to the Horsey when she noticed that the Pokemon's eyes looked distant, and its skin was pale. Something was very wrong. Part 36. Poison and Peril.
Mizu? Mizu?
Panic gripped Violet's heart. The eyes of her horsey seemed to stare at nothing, and its skin was pale. The Pokemon looked like it was dying.
Mizu, what's wrong?
When her horsey didn't give any kind of response, Violet began to run. She needed to get to the Pokemon Center before it was too late. As she reached some stone steps, there was a flash of light blinding her momentarily, and her foot missed its target, sending the girl tumbling forward. She scraped her knees on the path at the bottom of the three steps, but she had managed to keep Mizu safe through it. There was another flash of light, and then another, and Violet looked for the source. It was a hazard light for a large container being moved through the streets. Violet didn't even take the time to brush herself off once she got to her feet and started to run again. Her gait was a little more awkward as the fall aggravated her wounded ankle. Barging into the Pokemon Center, Violet called out for a nurse as she hurried toward the counter.
What seems to be... Mizu, she's I think my Pokemon is dying!
The nurse looked startled and took a look at the pale Pokemon.
Oh dear, let me see.
Then the woman's face relaxed a little.
Ah, I see. It will be okay. Your Pokemon won't die.
Really?
Violet looked up hopefully.
Really? Just place the Pokemon in its Pokeball, and your horsey will soon be back in tip-top shape.
Still shaking a little, Violet brought out Mizu's Pokeball and returned it.
What is wrong with...
Just a little poisoned. I'm guessing it must have just been in a battle with another Pokemon. Is that right?
Yeah.
Violet felt a little foolish all of a sudden. Of course it was just poisoned. She had never seen the effect on a Pokemon before, but she had read all about it in her studies.
Why don't you go up to your room and get some rest while we take care of your horsey? I can see your ankle is still bothering you.
Violet nodded.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
My pleasure,
the nurse assured her. Then she took the Pokeball and went to work. Back at the room, Violet went to open the door, only to find the door was ajar. She didn't recall being in a hurry when she left, so it seemed odd that she wouldn't have shut it. Then she realized that she had just encountered members of the Rocket Gang, and so that meant they were in town, and if that was true... Her heart started to beat faster, and she stepped back away from the door.
They must have come looking for me,
Violet thought. She wondered if they were still in there, just waiting for her. Not sure where to go, Violet continued backing up until she hit the wall at the opposite side of the hall. That snapped her out of staring at the door, and she decided her first step was to get to where there were other people. But just then, the door opened further, and a cart came out, followed by a woman.
Oh, hi,
she said.
I was just finishing up.
Violet breathed a sigh of relief. It had just been the maid.
You can go ahead and go in, if you want. I just need to gather the rest of the supplies. Thanks.
Violet offered a smile to the maid and entered the room. As she made her way toward the bed, the maid followed into the room and grabbed a sheet off the floor. Violet could hear her flapping it around, trying to get it straight to fold. It was at the moment that Violet thought it odd to be folding a dirty sheet headed for the laundry that suddenly it was on her head.
Got you!
The maid called out triumphantly, and then Violet found her arms pinned at her sides and her feet lifted off the ground. The young girl started shouting and squirming, and the maid had to fight to just cover her mouth so no one else was alerted. Suddenly, the maid cried out in pain as she learned how ineffective sheets were at protecting from bites. Violet saw red appear on the sheet where she had chomped down on the woman's hand. Suddenly, Violet was back on the ground, and it took a few moments to get untangled from the sheet. By the time she could see the room again, the woman was standing over her. Violet was ready with a Pokeball and launched it right into the woman's face. It popped open with a blast of light, and Evie appeared.
V, help! That woman is trying to kidnap me!
The pale-furred Pokemon looked a little confused and glanced casually behind himself. When he saw the maid, however, his fur bristled and V growled. The woman looked nervous and even took a step back, but she wasn't fast enough to avoid the Evie launching itself as he tried to add to Violet's previous bite. While V had the woman distracted, Violet picked up the Pokeball and rushed for the exit, waiting to return the Eevee until she was almost out the door. But before she could, the light from the hall was suddenly gone. A large man had just stepped in front of the doorway, and he grinned at the girl running toward him. Violet quickly skidded to a stop and began to run the other way, back toward the woman who had just tossed V off of her and into the air. In quick succession, Violet collected V back into its ball and with her other hand pointed another ball toward the window. A Spearow soared out and shattered right through the glass, and Violet leapt right out after it. To be continued.